On Wednesday, the 7th of July 2004, during this year's ACB convention held at the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Complex in Birmingham, Alabama, Pulse Data International held a BrailleNote Users Seminar presented by Jonathan Mosen.
And welcome. My name is Jonathan Mosen. I'm the Blindness Product Manager with Pulse Data International. And we're delighted to have so many of you here to celebrate with us, because there's a lot to celebrate. And no doubt many of you have been to the booth and seen some of what we have to offer and what I want to talk to you about in some depth this evening. I'd just like to go through the format. I want to introduce you first to some of the Pulse Data people who are here, and they can tell you a bit about what they do and when you might like to contact them. I'll then pass the wireless microphone around the room. Yeah, we're really big on wireless at Pulse Data, so we have this wireless microphone, and we'll pass it around the room, because I don't know about you, but when I come to these things, when we meet with BrailleNote users, I find it amazing to actually hear the voices of these people that you hear from on the email list. Many of you will be on the BrailleNote discussion list. If you're not, you're most welcome to join it. It's a service that Pulse Data runs that allows BrailleNote users to talk with one another and with the company, to compare notes, to talk about how they use their BrailleNotes, to perhaps do some brainstorming and troubleshooting. And many of the features that we are showing you tonight are really a result of all of the great feedback that we've got from customers, including through the BrailleNote list. So it would be good to put some non-synthetic voices to some of these names. And so we'll just take the time to do that, because the BrailleNote family is really just that, a family, a community of people who use the product. And then I will give you a few demos of what's coming up and explain exactly how this is going to work, how the updates work and how you can get them, and approximately when. And then we will use that wireless microphone again and invite questions. Now, I understand that ACB Radio is here recording this. It's nice to have ACB Radio here, of course. So let me, I think, first hand it over to Mike Gibson, and he can introduce himself.
The biggest thing I do is listen to you as the users, and some of you have actually come and made some great suggestions, and I pass those on to Jonathan, and we discuss and prioritize what happens when and where. Not to mention I get to play with all the fun stuff anyway. I've been with Pulse Data now approximately 4 months, and I've got to say it's one of the funnest times I've had so far. And I think we've got a lot of exciting stuff, as you've seen with BrailleNote PK, and also the advancements that will be released with KeySoft 6.1 for the BrailleNote, that it's a lot of fun to be a part of this organization, and to be able to meet, as Jonathan said, all of you in person. It's nice to actually meet the personality behind the name. And I'm looking forward to getting to know all of you a little bit better. And now I will pass it off to Matthew.
Thanks, Mike. My name is Matthew Janusowskis. I'm the Director of Training Services for Pulse Data's North American market. Some of my responsibilities include overseeing our dealer network, ensuring that they have the appropriate training and competence with the product, and making sure that they are in a position to offer training services to you as direct users. So you could be put in contact with me for those types of issues, possibly. I have some involvement in overseeing our tech support department these days, and also very likely could be seen in your area from time to time, presenting some type of BrailleNote orientation workshop or some type of advanced training, perhaps for a group of VI teachers, O&M instructors from time to time, vocational rehabilitation agencies, and those types of things. And Jim, did you want to say anything before we go?
Sure.
All right.
I knew his name ringing a
bell. Hi, I'm Jim Halliday. I was president of this organization for 16 plus years, and now they've let me out to pasture. I get to be president emeritus, has been, or whatever they call that. Anyway, they still let me come out and have fun, and now I get to do the things that I got into the industry to do. And so So I really enjoyed being with everybody here tonight. I'll give you back to Jonathan here. Thank you for coming. It's great to have such a great group.
Thanks very much, Jim. And we'll ask Jim if you might pass around the mic shortly so we can all introduce ourselves in the audience there. I have to tell you a story, and it's a bit of a scary one. I was working through the issues with the help of Jim and Matthew and Mike here of getting internet access in this room, and it had to be provisioned, and we had to wait for the man to come and do that, and I sat down and I wandered around and said hello to some of you. And when I got back to the lectern, I couldn't find the brown APK. I know that no one's wandered off with it because brown note users are honest people. I thought, where on earth would I have put it? I was sort of scrambling around, getting in a panic, and getting red faced, and I where's the brown note PK? And then I realised, oh gosh, it's in my pocket. It's just so light. Now, I'm very humbled. You know, we have so many people here, and I know that there are so many choices that you have to make in terms of what events you will attend at convention. So thank you all so much for coming. And Jim, if I could have the wireless microphone, because I'll use it to help amplify the brown note PK when we get into that. Thanks. There we go. If I tap a microphone. I'd like to just start by talking about the journey that we've been on over the last year or so. I became the Blindness Product Manager with the company just after last year's convention. And the first few months was really a period of listening and learning for me, learning how things were done. The Braille Note, for me as a user, and I've been a user for a long time like many of you, it was fascinating for me to go and watch Braille Notes being made, to actually sit and work with the geniuses that beaver away in the development department of Pulse Data, who are really the young unsung heroes. They write all the code, they make it all happen. And then to see the Braille Notes actually come off the assembly line. Fascinating process. And then to talk to many of you about what was needed, what we did well, what we needed to do better. And as a result of all of that discussion, I put together what we call a roadmap, which seems to be a very in term right now. Everybody's doing roadmaps. But I put a roadmap together for the Braille Note, looking at where we were going to be in 1, 2, 3 years' time. The Braille Note was the first device to use Windows CE, which is the mobile technology from Microsoft. We were using that in 2000, while others were still using kind of 1980s technology. What we did was we put a user interface over the top that isn't graphical. It still takes advantage of all of the mainstream benefits of Windows CE, but it does so on our terms as blind people to allow us to use it with efficiency. And when I started looking at the roadmap, we started to look at, well, what do we need to do to keep that momentum going? Some of the products that you're seeing now are the first step of that roadmap. And over the next year or so, you'll see a number of pretty significant infrastructural changes to the Braille Note. And I'll talk about some of the things that we've already announced, but believe me, there's lots more to happen that we'll be telling you about over the next year or so. The Braille Note announcements that we're making at the moment involve a new product, a new member of the Braille Note family, and also a significant update to the KeySoft family of products. Let me deal with the new product first, because in a sense it allows me to show you some of the things that you can expect if you're a user of the current Braille Note family members. Before I do that, though, the first thing I want to really stress is that the Braille Note PK, which is a wonderful device that has caught the attention of everybody at convention. Everybody seems to be talking about it. But it is not a replacement for the current Braille Note family. One of the things that I'm really proud of and that helped me to say yes when I got a phone call out of the blue one day saying, will you come and work and do this job, was that Pulse Data in 2002, after a couple of years of the Braille Note being out, came up with some new hardware because technology advances very quickly. And of course, in the sighted PDA market, what happens is that sighted people would expect to replace their PDA maybe once every year or two. Of course, sighted people don't pay $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for their PDAs. And so it's all very well for people to talk about mainstream technologies, but I don't think that mainstream upgrade programs are appropriate. You shouldn't have to replace an entire piece of hardware 6 months or a year after you bought it. So Pulse Data put out a new board upgrade in 2002, and that meant that you could keep the most expensive part of the technology, which is the Braille display, without having to replace it, but you could benefit from all of the technologies that had advanced in that period. And so I can assure you that the BrailleNote family members, that the BrailleNotes that you now own, have a very exciting future, and that the BrailleNote you have is not going to be obsolete anytime soon. And that should give people comfort, because it is a big investment and we take that seriously. We obviously have to make money, otherwise we disappear. But we want to do it in a way that realizes that this is a big investment and it's tough, especially for people who don't have access to government funding. With that in mind, we started to think about what we could do to improve the BrailleNote family. And the first thing was that we came to the conclusion that there was not really a true PDA-sized device with Braille output for the blind. The Braille and Speak is legendary for its size, but of course that didn't have a Braille display, and it used a proprietary operating system. So we've come up with the BrailleNote PK. It uses Microsoft Windows CE 4.2, which is the very latest mobile technology from Microsoft. So it allows us to do a lot of things. But also over the top of it, we have the famous Keysoft interface, which of course, as you all know, is a suite of applications written in consultation with blind people for us, and it offers a lot of power. BrailleNote PK, many of you will have had your hands on it over the last few days. It is small. It is, I guess, about the size of a Braille and Speak, except this has an 18-cell Braille display and all those modern features that we're going to cover. The Keysoft features that you've come to know and love are all in here, with the exception of a couple of things, and let me go over those. The terminal for screen reader is not there, only because with a small 18-cell display like this, we felt that it was unlikely that it would be used extensively. We also, because this is a true PDA as opposed to the standalone power PDA of the rest of the BrailleNotes that you now have, you can't print and emboss directly from the BrailleNote. You can, however, synchronize with a PC and print and emboss that way. There are some nice features that have often been requested, however, in BrailleNote PK, including a USB port. We have full support for Bluetooth, which I will demonstrate for you shortly. We have a general purpose port that allows you to connect a serial cable or an external standard QWERTY keyboard. So with BrailleNote PK, you can use it as a QWERTY machine as well as a Braille input machine. Yes, yes, yes. We also have wireless functionality. There's one compact flash slot in the machine, and we'll talk about that shortly. An enhanced media player, which I will demonstrate. A joystick for navigation, and there are a number of hardware features that we're not talking about at the moment but are already built into the hardware that we will be enabling in future releases of the BrailleNote PK. So you will be amazed by what it's going to do in the next little while. The BrailleNote PK is really designed for people who need ultra portability, and because it is ultra portable, there are costs associated with that. And so it's about midway between the cost of a BrailleNote 18 and a BrailleNote 32. So the BrailleNote is still very portable. I've carried mine around my shoulder for 3.5 years or whatever it is. But if you need ultra portability, if you want a device you can take out of your pocket, check information, perhaps put it in the seat pocket in front of you if you do a lot of flying, and you want it to be lightning fast, the BrailleNote PK may be worth considering. So it's certainly just an additional choice and not a substitution for what we have. Let me do you a bit of a demo here of some of the new features, and we'll just see if we can get you some good sound from the
word processor
PK. So we have the little BrailleNote PK here, and I'm going to go to the options menu now.
Objects menu.
And you'll find that there is a new menu option here.
Connectivity menu.
That's called the connectivity menu. So I'll explore that.
Active connection details.
We've got active connection details, which just tells us how we're connected, because there are all sorts of ways that we can be connected with the BrailleNote PK.
Bluetooth.
And we'll come back to that.
Wireless Ethernet. Manage configurations.
So wireless Ethernet, which is exciting, and we'll talk about that extensively too. What we've done, by the way, with Braille OPK, and you'll also see this in the upgrade that you can access through Kiesoft 6.1, is that we've separated the email accounts from the way that you connect to the internet, which is much more logical. So before, we used to have a directory of services menu, and in there, not only did you have to fill in your POP server and your SMTP server and email-related things, but you also had to fill in things like what modem do you want to use or how do you want to connect. So now we've completely separated that, and it also means, as a result of that work, that you can have true support for multiple email accounts. So you can have a home account, an account for your business, and when you send a message to either one, it knows which address to use. So that's a feature that we've had requested quite frequently. I'm now going to turn on my cell phone, and I have turned it off because otherwise we'll get lots of calls from New Zealand. We don't want that. So we'll just hang on a second while the cell phone boots up. Even my cell phone has an operating system these days. Yes. And I'll show you the Bluetooth support that is built into Braille Note PK. Okay, we'll come back to that because it's playing up. Technology. All right, let's have a look at the wireless support while the cell phone gets itself sorted out.
Wireless Ethernet on.
So as soon as you choose wireless Ethernet, it will ask you if the wireless Ethernet should be on. The reason for that is that wireless Ethernet does take up a bit of battery capacity. Incidentally, the Braille Note PK, according to our tests, is getting around 33 hours of battery life with continuous speech. So with Braille, the support should be considerably longer than 33 hours. Sounds like it's going to be a long night with my cell phone this evening. For some reason, it's decided to get very upset with me. Wireless Ethernet, for those of you who aren't familiar with that, it's really quite a revolution. Let me explain to you some of the things that you can do with that. It allows you to... You may have heard of hotspots or Wi-Fi. They're all pretty much the same kind of terminology, and it means that if you go to a Starbucks or a McDonald's, or perhaps even some places in this hotel, I know that some of us have been looking at various web pages and doing email from the restaurant here over there at the hotel in the atrium, because they have free wireless access there. One of the downsides of this, of course, is you have to be very careful not to get ketchup on the Braille display or something like that, or the service guys will be most unhappy with you. But apart from that, the implications are great, because it means that if you're stuck at an airport, if you're at a table, you just want to quickly check email, you can do so with considerable speed by surfing the internet wirelessly. So let's answer yes to the question about whether wireless internet should be on.
Yes.
Okay.
Wireless manager would not be started. Check that the adapter is present.
It's Mr. Murphy. Let's just actually, we'll just put the card in the slot. And it comes up with a card and asserted message. And that you should say card inserted twice. The reason for that is that we have one compact flash slot in the Braille Note PK, and that will generally be a bit of an issue, except that, let's just see if we can get this to talk.
Card inserted.
There we go. It gave two card inserted messages. The reason for that is that I've been able to use a card that I just was able to pick up from a standard store like Radio Shack or CompUSA. So there's no particular card that you have to get from us. We'll supply a list for you of cards that work with Windows CE 4.2. And this card, in this case, has two functions. It has 128 megabytes of compact flash storage on it, and it does wireless internet all on the one card. So it's really nice.
Objects menu, connectivity menu. Wireless Ethernet on? Correctly, no. Yes, wireless Ethernet menu.
So now we're in the wireless Ethernet menu.
Connect to wireless Ethernet. Manage configurations. Set up options. End of menu.
And we're going to, we will connect to wireless Ethernet. And it's saying, please wait. And with a bit of luck, it will connect to the access point that we just paid for.
Associated with links. Yes.
And it's associated with links, as it says, which means that it's found a wireless connection. We can do all of the things, if you're familiar with Windows XP, we can do all of the things that you would do in there, such as scan for networks,
If you have a choice of networks, you can choose which one you wish to connect to. If the network requires an encryption key, you can enter that for security reasons. And you can also be alerted, if you wish, when you come in range of a network. So you could be working in the word processor. You could ask Keysoft to keep looking for network configurations for you, and it will pop up and say, you're now in range of a hotspot that you can connect to. So we can now go to the all-improved web browser.
Main menu, address, press enter or www.hostgator.com/aweb.
So that's a new prompt. It's asking which configuration to connect with. We will choose hotspot.
Please wait.
And it's going to find the internet connection. So the first time it takes... Okay, now those of you who are familiar with the speed of the current browser, I'm going to open the... I'm going to open the web browser, open dialog, and we'll type cnn.com, and I'm pressing enter now.
Please wait.
So it's saying please wait, and this is a very large page. It's busily...
cnn.com.
Right, so we're there with our entire CNN homepage, and I've got to tell you that I've got a 2.6 gigahertz machine with that jolly old graphical user interface called Windows on it at home. And because of the speed of this and the non-graphical nature of what we're doing, this is browsing the web faster than my 2.6 gigahertz machine. It is really very fast. And so we can go ahead here.
Type aware, a Time magazine reporter is working on the edge of a time unlikely go-between for anti-Western insurgents in Iraq and Namibia. Where has been receiving video shot by...
So if we want to read this,
full story.
We can press enter on full story.
Okay.
It just said linking. And there we go. The network has bombed out on us, but that's all right. The connections have been a little bit up and down. But you get the idea here that we've got this wireless Ethernet access. There are no wires here, and as long as you're in range of a wireless hotspot, you can sit here and surf the web at very fast speed and do your email, whatever you need to do with the wireless Ethernet. Now, sometimes wireless Ethernet isn't available, in which case, if you want to be mobile, we still have solutions for you. What we are doing in the current BrowNote family is using the BrowNote's infrared port so that you get a line of sight going. You have to directly put your cell phone in front of your infrared port, and then you can you're in business and connect to the Internet. In the case of Bluetooth, however, it's not line of sight. So I've got my cell phone behaving itself now. We can go into connectivity again. And let's choose Bluetooth. We'll choose yes.
Yes. Search for devices.
And we'll press yes to search for devices.
Searching for Bluetooth devices. Please wait.
So it's now going to see whether we have any Bluetooth devices in the room. I'll tell you a very interesting side effect of this, because it makes me really excited about the future. I was in Frankfurt not so long ago, and the Europeans are really into this Bluetooth thing. And they name their devices very carefully. So a lot of people call their cell phones by their own personal names or something that clearly identifies it as their device. And so when I was in this big conference with lots of techie people, I was able to use the BrowNote PK to actually look at who was around me. And that's one of the biggest blind people, one of the biggest problems that blind people face. So... I was able to actually track down a number of people in Frankfurt that I needed to meet with by knowing that they were in a sort of a 30-foot radius of me and yelling at them and attracting their attention. So it's great, because I'm sure that you realize when you come to these conventions, one of the most frustrating things is trying to catch up with people. So it has a very practical use. Now, it's come up with a list of Bluetooth devices. And that's my Nokia 6600, and we don't have any other Bluetooth devices turned on right now. So that's selected, and I can press enter and look at the options that we can do with that phone.
List of services for Jonathan Posen's Nokia 6600. Active sync.
So it's come up with active sync, which is unlikely to work on a cell phone. However, you can make a wireless active sync connection with your PC.
The cool thing about that is that you can be up to 30 feet away from your PC and still transfer files to and from your Val.pk, and it will all just work wirelessly, no wires required. Now the modem thing is what's most interesting, because it means that without even taking a cell phone out of your pocket, you can be sitting in the back of a taxi or on the bus, and you can use your Val.pk with a cell phone that's Bluetooth capable, make a connection to the internet, and surf the internet from pretty much anywhere that you've got cell phone coverage. It's a great business tool. We're also going to be introducing some other things in a future release, such as Object Exchange. This is the long-awaited beaming feature, and you'll be able to beam contact information to cell phones, other Val.pks, etc. Bluetooth is also nice because you can use a completely wireless keyboard with the Val.pk, and that's ideal if you're going to take your Val.pk on the plane with you. You may not want to take a QWERTY keyboard in that situation, but as soon as you get to your hotel, you want to get the keyboard out of your suitcase and type on a standard QWERTY keyboard. So that's the Bluetooth capability of the device, and we will obviously make time for questions about all of this stuff, so feel free to keep those questions bundled up. We've got a media player as well that is significantly improved. The media player supports a wide range of formats, including Windows Media, Wave, MP3, AIF, and a few others. And the really great improvement with the Val.pk hardware is that we're able to have media playing in the background, and that we have separate control over the volume of the media and the volume of the speech. So, let's just demonstrate that.
Play media file in which folder? Press enter on general.
I'm going to go to the storage card.
Drive, storage card, play media file, list magic MP3.
Okay.
Media file to play, list of the Beatles favorite songs, the sun.mp3.
Hooray! We've got some Beatles on here, and that wouldn't probably surprise too many people who know me too well. So we'll just crank that up. Now, it's mono on the speaker, but when you plug headphones into this, it's in truly glorious stereo. Now, the thing about this, so we're in the main menu now, and it's still playing. And that's an okay balance between the volume of the speech and the volume of the media, but now it's actually got a bit louder because George isn't playing on his own anymore, and Ringo's thumping on his drums, and it's all on. So, if we want to turn down the media player volume, we just push enter with .13.
Address list. Email.
And you can see that the music's come down in the background. We can turn it way up.
Internet.
And separate volume control for the speech. So this is great. And of course, remember with the media player, you've always been able to remember the last place that you were at in your document, in your audio file. And that's particularly good if you're listening to a book and you get interrupted, for example. Now, for those of you who work with networks, and the Val.pk is obviously designed predominantly as a business tool, you have full access to corporate and home networks with Val.pk. So that means that if you log on to a network and you have access to other drives on the device, on the network, you're able to browse those drives. You can find Word documents, work with them, save them. You can have media files, for example. If you're working wirelessly and you're sitting outside on a nice summer evening, you can access all of the MP3 files that might be living on your network and listen to those. I was actually using this at a senior managers meeting in New Zealand a few weeks ago, and something came up where we needed to check some files that were on the network, and I was the only one with my Val.pk in this room full of other executives who happened to be sighted, who was able to go and check those documents and retrieve them, and all my sighted colleagues wanted a Val.pk after that. So there's a lot here. It is fast. We're still on alpha with this, which means that we haven't even sent this out to a group of selected testers yet, and yet it's coming together really well. We're anticipating shipping towards the end of September. And for customers who, like you, who have Braille notes already, a lot of these features are going to make it into Keysoft 6.1. I know that there was a lot of speculation that for Windows CE 4 to go on the Braille note, it was going to require a hardware upgrade, and people were worried about that. And I'm not saying there never will be another hardware upgrade, but what I'm saying is, and I said this to our developers, I want to make sure that we get every bit of mileage out of what we have, because, you know, there are people who find these kinds of upgrades tough, and the engineers have done a fantastic job, because what they've been able to deliver on the existing hardware is a complete package that you'll get on a compact flash card. You will be able to upgrade the operating system from Windows CE 2.1 to Windows CE 4.2, and then it will install KeySoft version 6. Now, it's important to point out that the KeySoft version 6.1 requires Windows CE version 4, and Windows CE version 4 will not run earlier versions of the Braille Note. In other words, as Frank Sinatra once said, you can't have one without the other. So that means that what you have to do is upgrade both at the same time. There's no way you can do one at one time and another at another. And because of that, we've done something quite unheard of in the system technology industry, and indeed in the technology industry generally. What generally happens is that if you belong to a maintenance agreement program, it might be a subscription or the next two upgrades free or whatever it might be, if they come out with a release that's new and fancy and requires the most up-to-date operating system, such as, say, Windows XP, and you're running Windows 98, it's your responsibility to get Windows XP. And that's just the end of it. If you don't want to, you just miss out on what you've got in your subscription. What we've done is we've said, well, that's a little bit rough in our market where things are tough for people. And so we've got a program in place where you can use two software maintenance agreement releases, two counts, to upgrade your Braille Note. The first will be obviously to get your operating system up to date, and the second will be for KeySoft itself. That means that if you have an SMA with two to go, you're going to get this upgrade for nothing. If you have an SMA with one count remaining, you'll be able to buy a new SMA to complete the upgrade, and you'll still have one upgrade remaining. Now, it's like an insurance plan, really, the old SMA. And if you don't have an SMA, if you didn't have one at the time that all this was announced, the upgrade will cost $399, and then if you want to get an SMA after that, you're welcome to do so. So the difference is in the software, 6.1, which is on the Braille Note family, the Braille Note that you have, versus 6.0, which is running on Braille Note PK. We're not at the stage committing to Bluetooth in the first release. It's going to happen. It may happen in 6.1, but at this point we can't say for certain, and so we don't have it on the specs that we're releasing for KeySoft 6.1. You do, however, get the wireless internet access. You do get the massive upgrade in web browsing technology to Pocket Internet Explorer 6 using our KeyWeb interface, which is one of the most intuitive, I think the most intuitive way to surf the web that there is. You get the media player with all sorts of different formats, such as Windows Media Wave, etc. But you don't get the ability to play media in the background, because that's a limitation of the current hardware. You do get full networking support, so that you can log on to networks if you have one at home or in a place of business. And there'll be a number of other miscellaneous fixes, including the rewritten email client, which should improve email performance. We are advised that Windows CE 4 has optimized its code quite a bit, and that we should expect quite a bit of performance increase. The browser is slow, and we think that version 4.2 of Windows CE and version 6.1 of KeySoft will speed that experience up quite a bit, even on the current hardware. So there's a lot to look forward to. We have some other product announcements before we open it up for questions. We have these new Braille displays that people are talking about as well. They're called the Brailliant. That's like brilliant, but with an A in it. And they come in 24 and 40 cell versions. They are very smart cookies, these Braille displays. And I'd like to explain why that is. The first thing is that we're using this Bluetooth technology once again. And I think you'll be hearing a lot about Bluetooth in our industry over the next few years, when people see just what we've been able to achieve with it. What it means is that you can have a wireless connection between, say, a laptop or a PC and the Braille display, the Brailliant. Now, if you work in an office and happen to have a laptop that you get given to take on the road with you and a desktop, it means you can actually change the computer that the Brainiac works with without having to unplug it from one and plug it into the other. It also means that you don't have any pesky cables to worry about when you're traveling. You can just slip this very small, sleek device into a laptop bag, and you really do barely know that it's there. It's amazing technology. But we have USB as well, and we're taking full advantage of the USB 2 standard to give you some really smart stuff. For example, when you connect this to your laptop and your laptop is plugged into the electricity, the USB 2 standard allows us to have the Brainiac powered by the laptop, so it doesn't use any of the Brainiac's battery. And in fact, if the Brainiac's battery needs charging, it will be getting charge at that point as well. Now, that's not unique, but what is unique? In fact, unique is just not an appropriate term. What is utterly groovy is when you disconnect your laptop from the electricity and it's running on the laptop battery, then the Brainiac says, oh, it's running off the laptop battery and we need to conserve all the laptop battery life we can, because typically laptop batteries don't last that long. So at that point, it will automatically start powering itself off its own battery. And how much power do you have off the Brainiac's own battery? Well, we have about, an estimate of 95 to 100 hours of battery life. And that's with USB, and between 25 and 30 hours on Bluetooth. So this really does, in my view, give you a true alternative if you need to have mainstream technology. Blind people pay, I guess, for a Braille device, you know, between $4,000 to $6,000 for a Braille-based device. Sighted people pay maybe $300 for a pocket PC. So a sighted person's going to accept pocket-sized applications with limitations for their $300, because they've only paid $300. If you want mainstream applications in the Windows environment, our view is that the way to go is to get a tiny laptop, and there are many of those out there now. Get a Brainiac, connect it wirelessly through Bluetooth, and you don't have pocket anything. You accept a pocket-sized kit to carry around, but you have full access to everything that is true Windows. And that's one of the reasons why we're pushing the Brainiac so heavily for those people who must have that full Windows-based solution. The other thing that's new is that we are changing the cells in the Braille display for new Braille Note customers. We've done a lot of research over the last year, and I'm a bit of a Braille perfectionist when it comes to the feel of Braille displays. And one of the things that caused me to buy one in the first place, a Braille Note, was I really like the feel of the Braille. I think the cells are crisp and clear, and it's great. So when the engineers said to me, we think we can improve on what we have, I was extremely skeptical. And they came up with a test, and I sort of said, well, this is promising, but go away. And they kept working on it until we got to the point where I said, yeah, this is really, really good. It's the Braille displays on the new Braille Notes mean that the whole Braille Note is considerably lighter, especially if you've got a 32-cell unit. You really notice the difference. It's quieter. I was interested in Pat's comment about James, you know, not tonight, darling, I have a Braille Note comment, because those Braille displays, they do sort of go click, click, click when you when you're scrolling them. We have eliminated that in the current, in the new Braille Note Braille displays that you can get. Now, I'm saying this really for the benefit of the very small number of people who are here surveying what we're doing and aren't Braille Note users yet, because it doesn't make economic sense for us to replace people's Braille displays. The reason for that is that the Braille display is by far the most expensive component in a device like this. And by the time you factor in the replacement of an entire new Braille display and the labour involved in doing that very fiddly job, you're getting very close to a new Braille Note. So it's not something that we can offer to upgrade for current customers. But you might want to let people know that if they're interested in buying a Braille note, we have some very nice advances. The way that you can easily tell as a Braille note aficionado that the Braille display is different is that the cursor routing keys feel completely different from what you have. They're not rubbery, they're kind of... How would you describe the cursor routing keys, guys?
They're molded directly into the case now. Very sturdy.
Very sturdy. Yeah, okay. So you will definitely feel the difference. So that's something that will start hitting the marketplace in the next little while as we get through the last remaining stock of the current Braille display. But it is actually an improvement, much to my surprise, pleasant surprise. So those are just some of the things, and believe me, there's a lot more I'm not going to tell you about, because we believe in making sure that we can really deliver these things before we start singing their praises. We wanted to make sure that we had a Braille APK to bring to these conventions, so that it's not smoke and mirrors, it's not something we're promising one day, it's actually here now, and people have had their hands on it. When we're in the position to do more of that with some of the things we're working on, you can be sure that we will be shouting it from the rooftops, because it's going to be an exciting year. And finally, before we hand it back to you guys and we hear the introductions from the last few people and then take questions, for those of you who are techie or are concerned about the implications of this, I want to say that we are about to start a consultation process surrounding a software developer's kit. Now, those of you who our developers will know what that means, and I've had a lot of people jumping up and down with glee that we're getting around to this at last. For those of you who are not, what it means is that we have a really good thing going with the Braille note. It's a great environment, it's easy to use, and it's intuitive, and you don't have to spend a lot of time thinking about how to interact with the information as opposed to just getting on and getting the job done. However, one of the things that people have said to us is it's frustrating. You know, you have a lot of people pulling you in all directions as a company with requests, and we wish that other people could write software for the Braille note, like checkbook programs and graphing calculators and games and expanded media players, etc. And so we will be opening the platform way up sometime in the first half of next year. We want to do it right, but at that point, people other than Pulse Data will be able to start selling selling or giving away a wide range of programs for the Braille note. That is really good, because it means we're going to build a community of talented people around the Braille note. We're going to consult extensively with people who are going to create these programs to make sure that we give them the tools to do this right. And so, by this time next year, we would anticipate that we'd be very close seeing quite a range of exciting new tools for the Braille note that weren't created by us. Now, that is going to involve a little bit of change in culture for the Braille note, because you know that if there's an issue, there's only one group of guys to hammer, and that's us. When other programs come out, it's going to be a bit more like Windows, and you'll have to make sure that the person who produced the program is the person that you contact for support. And so that's something that we will need to just make clear and talk through with people, but the implications are just fantastic. So that is my product preview.
I think we should maybe go on to the questions.
Okay.
And it looks like Richard has his hand up. My question is, basically two. On the wireless card, does any protocol work, you know, 802.11, you know, the B, A, G? I want to do G because that's the faster one.
Yep.
And the other thing is, I want to know when the upgrade comes. Are they going to upgrade? Well, actually, what I really want to know about the PK is what's the speed of the process right now?
Thanks for that, Richard. Let me just, if I may, briefly go back to a point that Steve Dresser raised before I answer your question, or I forget to, and that was the database issue and documentation. What we hope to do in the near future, not in 6.1, but I hope in the next release, is put a front end so that you can create databases. It will be like a querying system, and it will ask you what field names you want to call the database, how many fields there are, what kind of field it is, and basically talk you through the process of creating a database. At that point, I hope that we will rename the address list to the database menu, because the address list is actually much more than a database. It allows you, the address list is actually much more than an address list. It's a full database that can be used for CD collecting, credit card storage. I use it to catalogue my wine cellar, in fact. So it's a great, and I agree with you, we need to do some work on that, so thanks for raising that, Steve. Richard, at the moment, Windows CE only has cards supporting it that do 802.11b. However, we did see the announcement just recently that I think it's SanDisk or Linksys, one of those guys, has put out one of the first G-compliant cards for Pocket, for Pocket PC. So we need to check to see whether that works in Windows CE 4 and whether our hardware, the bus on the hardware, is going to be sufficiently grunty to support it. So we will get back to you, but at the moment the norm for Pocket PC and Windows CE devices is not to support G. That will change over time, and we'll just have to assess whether our hardware is compliant. I'll have to also get back to you on specific information about the processor, so if you make sure you give me your email before you leave, I'll respond to you when I check with the developers.
Jonathan, this is Garrett Lieberg, and I'm just kind of curious, will this upgrade allow you to beam to a Palm Pilot?
This upgrade won't, but the Bluetooth protocol does support object exchange, which is the beaming thing, and so yes, probably in the second release of the PK/KeySoft 6 series that will happen, because the object exchange is a uniform standard that's device independent, so whether it's a Palm Pilot, a cell phone, a Macmate, whatever, you'll be able to beam to and from.
Okay, we're going to start Jeff's next, and then Darian back there.
Yeah, Jonathan, you were mentioning something in regard to the wearable display, where you were able to actually avoid, when you advance the display, you're able to avoid that little clicking that the cells made. How was that able to be accomplished?
So you're able to avoid what?
The little the click?
Yes. These cells are just quieter in popping up. The mechanical process of popping the cells up through the little membrane, they just don't make as much noise. They're streamlined. They're also, I forgot to say, actually more responsive. I think the brown note is quite snappy, but the new display cells are actually more snappy.
Hi, Jonathan. I'm Darian Hartman from Portland, Oregon.
Hi.
And I was wondering, this probably is totally evident to somebody else, but
that's okay.
When you are using your Braille display and using the media player, if you turn off the speech, does it turn off the sound for the media player? Because I could work in Braille and listen to music, and that would be so cool.
Absolutely. That's already there. So with version 6 of the PK software, you can turn off the speech, and you can work with the Braille display. However, in 6.1 of KeySoft for the current family, we don't yet know whether that's possible. It will be great if it is, and we were asked that recently by at another forum as well. So we're currently looking into whether we can do it and whether the hardware that we use in the current Braille Note family allows it. It is certainly possible in the PK.
Okay, Jane, and then I think Larry, you had your hand up next.
Okay, in the, and it's changing again, in the expanded media player for 6.1, will we be able to read Audible books?
Not in this, not in that software. However, we are working on a really significant rollout of DAISY technology. We'll have more to say about that later. And that DAISY recording / playback software will also be Audible compliant.
The other thing, this is in the interest, in the
sort of a category of wouldn't it be nice if the Braille note did this? Jonathan, you know I'm always going to push the envelope.
That's all right.
External data storage. Flash cards are really nice, but they're expensive. It would be really nice if we had an external drive like the current super disk drive to be able to read CDs and connect it maybe with a USB serial connector or something to plug into the right-hand side, you know, the PCMCI card slot.
The reason why you don't often find that in PDA technology is that most PDAs are using USB client ports as opposed to the full USB standard. So you can use it for connecting to things like a PC for active sync, and incidentally active syncing over the USB is nice and fast. And you might be able to use it for a modem, but generally to power peripherals like CD, ROM drives is not what PDAs tend to do. However, in a blindness device, which is much more expensive, our philosophy is you want to allow it to do as much as possible for this kind of money, and so we definitely will bear that in mind, and I think you'll be very pleased with where we're going with the products long term.
Okay, Larry, and then Jerry, and then John.
So I was going to ask the audible question, but that's been asked, but and I'm glad to hear that's coming, hopefully. But the other question is probably a no-brainer as well, but is my assumption that the PK will support the Sendero's GPS, correct?
Yes. We, in fact, handed Sendero today one of the 15 BrailleNet PKs that exist in the world right now, and they will be working extensively on GPS compatibility with the BrailleNet PK. The idea of a tiny Bluetooth-enabled GPS receiver in one pocket and the BrailleNet PK in another is pretty compelling. So it may not happen at the time that we release 6.0, but we wouldn't anticipate it being too far away.
Oh, John, this is Jerry. I don't own a PK or either one of them. However, I have a real good friend that does. And I have a query about the operating system CE is highly vulnerable because there's no protection for it once it hits the Internet in any form or fashion. CE is also capable of being totally destroyed by viruses because that technology is used in dumb terminals now in industry. How can you avoid that when you connect these devices directly to the Internet?
At the moment, because the platform is a closed one, it's one of the very few benefits of, a number of benefits of having a closed platform, that the only way you could write a virus for Keysoft is if you were a developer of Keysoft. but that, of course, will change when the software developers kit is released, because then the platform is not closed anymore. So by the time we get to that point, we will have dealt as part of the speaking of the software developers kit with the question of security protection and how we ensure that users' data integrity is protected. So it's certainly on the list as part of the opening up process.
John Mattioli, I have a question which Pulse Data folks I'm sure have heard before. If I have a Word document on my PC, which has been created using styles and all the quote-unquote proper things a Word document writer is supposed to do, and I transfer that to Keysoft 5.1 and then back to my PC, I've lost all my styles, and the importing, exporting process just totally loses tons of information. Is that being improved? No, I don't want to know if the loss is being improved. Is the loss being minimized in version 6 or 6.0 or 6.1?
It's not in version 6. However, this comes back to the point that Jim made earlier when we did the rounds. What happens at the moment is that those files are actually converted to RTF format, and the RTF converter is an old one and needs some work. Once we have some of the infrastructural issues sorted out that I've talked about, bringing the Braille note up to speed, opening it up, then we will go back and completely rewrite the Word/RTF converter. And at that point, we want to take the time to make sure that we pass those styles much more accurately than we currently do. So it's not a 6.0 fix, but it's a fix that is certainly on the immediate horizon.
Hey, Jonathan, this is Sarah Buccarelli from Berlin. Again, we've emailed back and forth about the multi-language software, and I have two questions about it. One is, what's the process look like for multi-language on the PK? And the two is, the 5 gig upgrade for 6.0 or 6.1, whichever's coming. Yeah, 6.1, the one that's coming out soon. Will I be able to use my Spanish software, or will I have to wait for you guys to put out another, or will y'all put an approved one, or how's that going to work out?
We don't intend in the near future to put multilingual on 6.0 just because of other things that we're doing. We will make sure that the multilingual works on 6.1 because... And the same with GPS, incidentally, because it's not appropriate for us to promise this major new upgrade and then cause customers to lose functionality. So if you upgrade to 6.1 on your current machine, the multilingual will continue to work.
Jonathan, a question. Jim Shaw, Jim. Louisville. When is the release date for 6.0 and 4.2? Is that later this fall?
Okay, 6.0 is the one in the Brown APK, so we're targeting the 21st of September, but if there's a bit of slippage, you know, don't shoot me, I'm only the piano player. And then 6.1, a lot of the work necessary for 6.1 for the current platform is going on at the same time as 6.0, if you see what I'm saying, because it's the same operating system. There's a lot of synergies there. However, we do have to port the existing Keysoft over to version 4.2. And there's a lot of driver writing that needs to go on, a lot of testing. So I would anticipate towards the end of the fourth quarter, realistically. But you know, we may be able to go into beta a little bit earlier, but I would say, to be safe, it's a significant thing to change the operating system on a device like this, and I would rather get it right than cause, you know, wholesale madness. So I would anticipate it would be towards the end of the fourth quarter.
One thing that's important to know, too, is that we've tripled the development team on this, on the Braille products, and so... just the very fact that we brought some of these major advancements out recently, and you'll see a lot more coming. And once we have the CE 4.2 platform, it'll probably be coming even faster. So it's really heartening for me after all these years to have noticed that the PDI is putting a lot of extra money and energy behind their development team. Yeah.
Thanks. Hey, Jonathan, it's Penny.
Okay.
Hi. You might have covered this because I was gone when you were talking about email. But when I email with using the Braille Note, it's not very efficient because there's no way to filter out the spam. And I'm pretty addicted to the junk filter in Eudora on my desktop. Is there any possibility of uploading, or, I don't know, you know, I'm not a techie, but is it possible to get a spam filter?
There are server-side spam solutions that you can use, and some ISPs do offer server-side spam solutions, but there is no spam blocker on the Braille Note itself. I would imagine that some very clever entrepreneur is going to write one as soon as we open the platform up, though. And that's exactly the kind of thing that I think is going to make next year so exciting for the Braille Note, because there's clearly a market for spam filtering. Somebody will write a package, I'm sure.
Any other questions? Oh, what a great group. We've had 60 people here tonight, so it's been pretty impressive.
And when this is all over, we will hang around and chat with you until about 7-ish. So if you have any questions, Matthew and Mike have also got lots of good answers for you. So feel free to come and have a chat with us. Okay, go. If you have more questions, we should use the microphone. Okay, copying folders in the... Well, you can. There is a workaround to that by using the backup utility so that you can go in and it asks you to backup which folder, and you can choose one folder and back it up to the compact flash card. But I actually agree there are a number of things that we need to do to the file manager, including, for example, when you bring up the directory of files, you should just be able to press enter on the fire to pull a porch. Yes. So I'm aware of those. Yeah. So we will bear that in mind. I appreciate that the feedback is quite strong about what needs to happen to the farm manager.
Sincere thanks to all those who participated in this week's main menu. And don't forget, of course, if you feel that you have something that you could contribute to main menu, it's your program, so drop us a line, mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. I'm Dave Williams. On behalf of all the main menu team, thanks for listening, and bye for now.